How would you cope if all you had was taken away from you? Your family, your friends, your work, your home? What if you were placed in a situation where Christian principles weren't just ignored, but were openly attacked day after day? What if you found your faith under attack over and over and over again? What if in the middle of the night there was a knock at the door and the army were there and they grabbed you and without any explanation they marched you off, telling you that you're going to be executed? You know no reason why. What would keep your faith in God strong at such a time as this? Well, Daniel and his friends knew these situations. They were about 14 years old whenever they were taken away from their friends and family in Jerusalem and taken to Babylon, over 1,000 miles away. And how did they cope? Well, our text for today tells us, and our text today is found in Daniel 11 and verse 32 and 33. Daniel 11, 32 and 33. Last half of verse 32. But the people who know their God will firmly resist him. Those who are wise will instruct many. People who know their God will firmly resist him. Better translation would be that of the King James Version or the New American Standard. The people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Or the people who know their God will display strength and take action. That's the secret of Daniel's steadiness in a shaky world. He knew his God. The people who know their God will display strength and take action. Last week I said that this topic on the study of God will be a practical subject, and Daniel's experience proves this. Here is what equipped Daniel to stand firm in the world that he lived in. Here's what helped him. And it will help us too, not just to stand firm, but one writer says, I believe that there is scarcely an error in thinking or in practice that cannot be traced to wrong thoughts about God. There is scarcely an error in thinking or in practice that cannot be traced to wrong thoughts about God. Not only will it help us to stand amidst difficulty and keep us from sin, but it will help us in our worship. Another writer says, he who does not study God and does not love the study of God's attributes cannot plead with God or be joyful in him in the same way as he who does study and delight in the Almighty. It will help us in our prayer life. It will help us in our worship. The more we invest ourselves in knowing God, not head knowledge, but taking that knowledge and living it out and putting it into practice, and letting it affect our daily lives, the more we will find great help and strength in the practical matters of living in this sinful world. That's what Daniel shows us. This is what we were made for, to know God and to enjoy him. And over the next week, we're going to look at the benefits and the blessings that will flow from knowing God in all of his different characteristics. Today we're looking just at an overview of these blessings. And we're taking Daniel, the first half of verse 32, and the second half of verse 32, and the first bit of verse 33 as our guide. And the wonderful thing about these words are they're not Daniel's opinion. That would have been great if they were, because Daniel had been through so much. And if Daniel were turning to us and saying, look, here's something I know. The people that know their God will be strong and they will do exploits. That would have been great. But it's even better than that. It's God speaking, and so it's a promise from God. A promise to all his people that if we know him, take time to learn about him and to apply that to our lives, we will display strength and we will take action and we will be able to tell people about what we believe. And so this is something that is practical. Practical for people who live lives in a world that's wrecked by sin and whose lives are surrounded by uncertainties and difficulty. So that's the promise that God gives. That's the circumstances the promise is given in. So, what are the benefits we can expect as we start this series of studies? I want to point out three from the text that we're looking at. The people who know their God will have their faith strengthened. The people who know their God will have their faith strengthened. Look at Daniel and his friends. Their faith is strong in the face of danger. They knew who their God was, and they knew what he was capable of. If we were to go back and look through the book of Daniel, we would see all the different events, and we would see the strength of their faith. In chapter 2, for instance, the king is angry and furious that the wise men can't tell him his dream and interpret it, and so he's going to execute them. And Daniel goes to the king, and he says, "Let me interpret it." And the king says, "Are you able to do it?" Daniel says, "No, I'm not. No wise man or magician can explain to the king the mystery of his dream. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." This madman, who was just ordered the execution of all his political advisors, he speaks fearlessly about God, the true God. And he speaks about a kingdom that's going to come and is going to be even greater than Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And is going to outlast Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And Daniel speaks fearlessly to this maniac king that had just ordered his execution. And what's the secret of his faith and the strength of his faith? Well, if we were to look at chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20, we would see what happened to Daniel. Before he went to the king, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And we read, "Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, 'Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers.'" Daniel knows his God. And as his life takes a sudden plunge, he knows where to turn to. And before he goes to the king and tells him about God, Daniel has in his own mind been thinking about the greatness of God and praising God that he's in control. And as Daniel goes to stand before a king, Daniel reminds himself that his God controls the kings of the world. His God is sovereign. As Daniel goes to tell the king a message, a dangerous message to tell the king, Daniel is reminded that his God is wise. And it's his God's message, so it's a wise message. And the king is in God's hands, and Daniel knows he has nothing to be afraid of because he knows his God. And his faith is strengthened because he knows his God. And the same will be true for us. Often our problem, the circumstances we're in, our problem is that we've forgotten the God who's with us and can help us in our circumstances. Our faith is not blind faith. And the more we grasp who exactly God is, the stronger our faith will be. The more we know of his strength and his power, the more confidence we'll have. And when we doubt our forgiveness, it's because we don't know the depths of his mercy. And when we struggle in the midst of difficulties, we need to know the wisdom of God, and to know that he's wise, and to know that he's sovereign, and that he's in control. And when we can see no way out, we need to be refreshed by thinking on God's power, and our faith will be strengthened. Listen to Daniel and his friends. These are words they say in the midst of difficult circumstances. "There is a God in heaven." who reveals mysteries. Later on in chapter 2, the God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. Chapter 3, the God we serve is able to save us. Chapter 5, Daniel points at Belshazzar, and says, you have set yourself up against the God of heaven. Daniel's not afraid, because he knows the God of heaven is on his side. Daniel 6, every chapter, isn't it? My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. These men had strong faith, because they knew, not just in their heads, but they worked it out in their lives, the fact that they had a relationship with God. They watered their faith with the water or the rain of God's attributes, with the knowledge of who God is. They allowed that to strengthen them, and their faith started to sprout up and to blossom, and it grew until it was strong and could withstand all storms. And as we study over these next number of weeks the different characteristics of our God, the different perfections, our faith will be strengthened. It will be like sinking deep roots into God that will keep us firm. Let me point out briefly and quickly three ways that our faith will be strengthened. One, we will have comfort amidst difficulty. When we look at Daniel, do we see these men panicking? Do we see them flustered? No, they're comforted. They know their God. You know, in a storm, it's wonderful to know that the building you're in is a solid building. You could be in a tent in the middle of a storm, and you'd be terrified. You know, think of all those people in Florida or the Bahamas or the Cayman Islands that have been battered by hurricanes. And imagine you were in a storm shelter, but you don't know much about storm shelters. And you can hear the wind howling outside. You can hear things being battered off the walls of the storm shelter. And you can hear trees and branches being hurled against the side of it. And you can hear what sounds like vehicles crumpling against the side of it. And you're terrified, because you think the walls will cave in, the roof will fall down, and you'll be killed. But then somebody who knows about the storm shelter says to you, look, these walls are 3.5 meters thick. Solid concrete reinforced with heavy steel bars. I know about these things. No storm will be able to damage this. Oh, great. You're comforted. Well, that's what it is to know God and his strength and might. It will comfort us in the midst of difficulty. It'll give us balance. It'll give us a balanced perspective. Reading this week about a man who was a very intelligent man, but he was a Christian, and his way to success was blocked by his fellow professors and by other academics. They wouldn't publish his research, they wouldn't review his writings, they wouldn't credit him with his studies, and he couldn't progress. And it seemed as if all his life's work had been wasted. And somebody was sympathizing with him, another Christian man was sympathizing with him, and he said, the scholar said to him, look, it doesn't matter, because I have known God and they haven't. Doesn't matter, my life's work's been wasted in their eyes. Doesn't matter, because I have known God and they haven't. He had his perspective right. The greatest thing that we can do in our lives is that we can know God. And when our friends are mocking us, maybe at school or at college, for knowing God, this gives us perspective. We have got what's important. When everyone seems to be getting away with wrong, it doesn't matter, because we have known God. And when difficulties come and you look at the lives of people who don't have any care for God and they're having it easy, it doesn't matter, because we have known God. And this is better by far. This will give us perspective. It gave Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego perspective. Burn or bow down to a false god. And they said, do what you like. We've known God. And this is far better. Gives a balanced perspective. But it also, this is linked, it gives contentment. It gives us comfort and balance and contentment. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego didn't really care what the king did with them. Incredible. They were either way. Throw us in the furnace. God will save us. We'll be happy. If he doesn't save us, we'll be happy. Incredible contentment in life. And Paul had the same contentment. To live is Christ. To gain or to die, it's gain. I don't know. Do I want to stay here? Do I want to, or to go to heaven? Better by far. But here, I can do good work for Christ. I have learned the secret in all circumstances to be content. The more we know of God, and the more we know and grasp what it is that our God is in control, if we are his born again children, we're his beloved children. We know the breadth of his goodness, and we know the depth of his wisdom and the strength of his power, and we realize that he loves us, and he knows what's best, and that he's working all things for our good, then we can be content. It brings us a contentment in circumstances that conspire to point out otherwise. If we know our God, we will be strong. Those who know their God will display strength. Their faith will be strengthened. Secondly, those who know their God will live productive lives for God. The people who know their God, our text tells us, will display strength and take action. Or they will be strong and do exploits. We want to have fruitful lives, don't we? We want to make an impact. We want our lives to make an impact and to have meaning in this world. We want to bear fruit for the sake of God. God tells us that these things come about not by our own effort, but by knowing him and investing ourselves in our relationship with him. Look at Daniel. Every chapter, right from the start, they make an impact. No, we're not going to eat your food that was sacrificed to idols, they tell this king. Daniel's about 14. Nebuchadnezzar hangs people for the fun of it. He skins them alive for entertainment. This is the sort of man that he is. And Daniel, a 14-year-old, says, I'm not eating your food. I'm going to obey God. And what happens? Eventually, at the end of the chapter, he's given authority in the land. Chapter 2, they refuse. Chapter 2, they interpret the king's dream. And he tells the king about this kingdom that's going to come. And more authority is given. After he's spoken to the king about the true God. Then in chapter 3, they refuse to bow to the king's statue. And they end up with the name of God being honored amongst the Babylonians. They make an impact. Then Daniel in chapter 3 challenges King, or chapter 4 challenges King Nebuchadnezzar and says, you need to repent. And what happens? King Nebuchadnezzar sends out a proclamation to the world saying, this God is the Most High God. We should worship him. Daniel makes an impact. Chapter 5, Belshazzar's feast, the writing on the wall. Daniel interprets it, and he's made the highest ruler in the land after Belshazzar. He makes an impact. Daniel withstands the pressure to pray to the king, and because of that, King Darius, a third king, sends a proclamation again to all of his empire saying, this God is the real God. These men had an impact. Daniel the believer made an impact on the world he lived in. And God's word tells us his secret. He knew his God. And the people who know their God will be strong and they will take action. Not a challenge to us, it's a promise. I find that exciting as we start this series of studies. I want to be bold. I want to have an impact in this world. I want to be a person who takes action. Don't you? God promises that that'll happen. And the more we develop our relationship with God, the more He will delight to work through us. Isn't that exciting? You know, if we're going to make an impact, we need to live holy lives. But as we study who God is and learn about His holiness and His delight in our obedience, and as we learn of His hatred of sin, and as we learn of all of His power and His glory and His splendor, sin will be an ugly thing. We're not wanting to do that. You know, there's no way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to bow down to the idol. They just thought, no, we're not going to do that. It was because of their relationship with God and their knowledge of God and their love for God that they wouldn't sin. And so as we invest ourselves in studying God, we're strengthening our resistance against temptation. Robert Murray McShane said, "A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God." The same is true for any of us. A holy person is an awful weapon in the hand of God. Now, when McShane uses the word awful, we would use today the word awesome, incredible, mighty, something to fill people with awe. We will become like that as we invest ourselves in knowing God. Do you want to be used by God in your home, in your workplace, in your school or your college, in your office or in the mart? This is where it starts. Do you want an impact, achieve great things for God? This is where it starts. Investing ourselves in knowing God. God promises that we will have an impact. And then finally, the third impact and blessing that knowing God will bring. Those who know their God, verse 33, we're told, will instruct many. We will be effective evangelists. Those who know God will be effective evangelists. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those. I'm not one. I'd like to be bolder. I'd like to have a message that people would hear and that they would be overwhelmed by it. I'd like them to see that message in me. God says, those who are wise, in other words, those who know their God, will instruct many. I find that a great encouragement. It's not a challenge, it's a promise to those who know their God. You know, and you can see that making sense. The more we know of how great God is, and as we look down this list of His power and His goodness and His wisdom and His sovereignty and His holiness and His love and His mercy and His patience and His justice and the fact that He can be near to us, the more we learn of these, the more excited we'll be with our God and the more we will enjoy Him. And people will see that. They'll see that we've got something they don't. And they'll want it. They'll either want it or they'll be driven back by it. But either way, we'll be having an impact and being an effective evangelist. The only time we are ineffective, really, is when people aren't forced to decide. We want people to look at our lives and either say, "I want God," or "I hate God." Those are the two options that people will take. And if we're living godly lives, people will pick either one of those two. It's sad that they would be put off by who God is, but that's their sinful choice. But we're also told in Scripture that many will see and be glad. That they will be drawn to God because of the lives of His people. The more we know of God, the more we will paint a beautiful picture of Him. You know, so often evangelism seems that we have to batter those who aren't Christians into submission. But actually we have something beautiful, something wonderful to offer. We can show them a God who is rich in mercy. We can show them the glory of this God and the greatness of this God and the mercy of this God and the love of this God and the patience of this God and the goodness of this God and how wonderful it is to know Him. And Paul talks about spreading the fragrance of Christ in the world. To some, yes, he says, it will be the savour of death. They won't want it. But to others, it will be the fragrance of life. And they will be attracted to Christ. And as we learn all about God, we will be transformed by God. And we will be effective in reaching people. I find that exciting. Our usefulness and our effectiveness depends on our relationship to God. How much we appreciate and love Him. It doesn't depend on our abilities. It doesn't depend on whether we're shy or not. God can use any of us. And He'll change us and transform us and use us to reach many. That's what it says. So here are three areas that we need great help in: our faith, our walk, and our witness. And here God promises to help us. He says, come and get to know me, and I'll transform you. In 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we behold, or we contemplate the glory of God, and we're being transformed from glory into glory by God as we do that. As we look, God transforms us. So I want you to take time in the weeks ahead to pray that God will be transforming you as we go through these studies of His nature. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You are so great and so wonderful and so awesome, so majestic. We thank You that we can know You. We thank You for the richness of blessing that You promise to those who know You. Lord, it's great. We thank You that You'll transform us from the people that we are into the people that we want to be. Thank You. But Father, I pray today for those here who this promise isn't for, because this promise is to the people who know their God. Lord, there's maybe some people here and they don't have a God. You're not their God. They don't love You and they don't worship You. And You're not their Savior. Oh Father, show patience with them. Show mercy to them. And we pray for them and for our family who don't yet know You. And we pray that in us they would see the greatness of knowing God and the joy of knowing God and the delight of knowing God and be attracted to our Saviour. Father, we pray that in this series of studies that our faith would be strengthened and that we would leave here each Lord's Day knowing that we've met with You and that it has been good for us to be here with You and that we have been changed by meeting You. Father, we ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen.